Amen. Amen. So, in saying that, keep us in your prayers. And what's the word of encouragement? The word of encouragement is just keep on keeping on. And just keep your faith. Keep your faith intact with the Lord Jesus. And he can give you some peace, and he'll give you some comfort if you're going through things in life, through trials or anything like that. Just trust in him. Amen. So I'm going to roll out of here. And have a great Sunday. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you had your tea. And again, my email is dosaydoucerecords@yahoo.com. Send me an email, and I'll see you next week on 30 Minutes. Keep the faith.
To KBOO, Portland, on 90.7 FM, K282BH, Philomath, on 104.3 FM, and K220HR, Hood River, on 91.9 FM.
El apoyo de KBOO proviene de sus miembros y del Programa de Cuidado Infantil para la Construcción de la Oficina de Trabajo e Industrias, en colaboración con Business Oregon, que trabaja para apoyar a quienes cuidan a los hijos de los trabajadores calificados en Oregon, incluso a familiares y amigos. Más información en oregon.gov/BOLI/apprenticeship en el enlace Asistencia Financiera para Aprendices Registrados.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Today on Pathways, we are going back to the roots of Taoism, a philosophy based on the way of nature. Our guest, who for me is a bit of a modern sage, refers in his new book to the source texts of the Tao Te Ching and the writings of Chuang Tzu to provide a comprehensive exploration of Taoism's original teaching, offering a fresh take on this ancient philosophy. We'll be discussing how to gain skills effortlessly through alignment with the Tao and how to overcome the limitations of reason. Perhaps such wisdom can liberate us from the suffering inherent in a materialistic culture and reconnect us with our unfiltered true nature. Our guest is Jason Gregory, author of The Tradition of Natural Taoism, The Way of Free and Easy Wandering in Oneness. Jason is a teacher of philosophy, comparative religion, metaphysics, and ancient cultures. He's authored several books, including Effortless Living, Emotional Intuition for Peak Performance, Fasting the Mind, and Enlightenment Now. His documentaries include The Art of Effortless Living, Effortless Action, The Art of Spontaneity, The Yugas, The Great Time Cycles of the Universe, and The Art of Synchronicity. Well, hello, Jason, and welcome back to the Pathways Show.
Oh, it's great to be back on, Paul. It's been a long time. Too much water under the bridge since last time we spoke, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, water under the bridge is something we're going to talk about, because that's one of these Taoist metaphors that you bring up in the book. And I have to say, this has been a very difficult interview for me to prepare for, because your book contains so much content in its effort to communicate the essence of Taoism. And I am so grateful for that, but I think we're going to have to do another show to follow up on this. But anyway, let's start talking about Taoism. And you say that Taoism is the most bastardized and trivialized spiritual tradition in the world. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's one of the traditions that a lot of people think of type sort of as a secondary philosophy a lot of the time, right? So it's not their primary philosophy, not their primary spiritual tradition. So why I say it's bastardized is including that, but because also it's one of the most misinterpreted, misunderstood traditions due to a lot of poor translations of the Tao Te Ching and the Chuangzi texts, right? So there's a lot of poor translations of the Tao Te Ching. I don't want to throw any particular authors under the bus, but when you read the actual Chinese and you relate it to the actual English interpretations, a lot of the Western audience over, you know, decades have kind of got a lot of the time a warped version of what Taoism is. And so, and it's not just the Tao Te Ching, it's also the Chuangzi. The Chuangzi is probably not as bastardized as what the Tao Te Ching is, but that's where it kind of stems from, right? And so that's where we get, you know, after that you have then the Tao of business, the Tao of marketing, you know, everything is used, the Tao is used for everything, where, you know, if we look at, say, Islam or Christianity, you wouldn't have like the Islam of business or something of this nature, right? So,
That's because the word Tao has a kind of a big meaning. And why don't we talk about that? What is Taoism? What is the Tao?
Great question. And it's hard to actually articulate, but the Tao itself is that irreducible essence of everything, right? It's the undifferentiated consciousness, the ultimate reality. You could say it's almost similar to Brahman in Vedanta. And so the Tao is that which is the essence of our nature. But you can't just sort of reduce it to that, because there's a couple of different aspects of the Tao. So you have the Tao of stillness, which is Uchi, and then you have the Tao of motion, which is Tai Chi. And so at the core of Tao, and we could say the essence of Tao is Uchi. So it's a Tao of stillness. So, you know, you hear in the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu always saying, return to stillness. You know, don't see partiality, because from that place, you're completely impartial. But the origin of the universe moves out from the stillness and becomes this manifest world, right? And so we are an aspect of that, but we have that process of Uchi and Tai Chi within us, right? And so Lao Tzu would say that for the spiritual aspirant, maybe for you and I and all of your listeners, it's the motion of return is what we need to go through, right? You often hear about you need to return to the source in the Tao Te Ching and this and that. And that's what it basically means. It means that Tai Chi movement back within ourselves.
Right. And what are we returning from? Is as your book points out, Tao being the way of nature runs counter to social structure and ideology and our conditioning. And that's what makes it fundamentally different from other religions and spiritual traditions.
Exactly.
You know, and you point out that it was originally a critique of Confucianism and socialization in general. But most of us think it's a good idea to be socialized. It's a good idea to have a strong sense of identity. Mm-mm-mm. So please speak to that.
Yeah, but that backs on what you were originally saying, like where, you know, a lot of traditions, spiritual traditions, even like from our parents to our education system, they tell you to get engaged, right, with the world. You need to intertwine with socialization. You need to go deep into socialization to become a solidified identity, to, you know, have form, to have an ability to say, hey, I know who Paul is. This is Paul's role. And so I can understand Paul from where I'm sitting, right? And so, but Taoism sort of pulls the rug from underneath that and says, no, it's socialization that warps our true nature. So we have to sort of reverse our gaze and step away from that. And in a sense, disentangle from socialization and culture and this and that. So it's actually, you could say, you know, a lot of people use terms these days of identity politics and this and that. Taoism would be non-identity politics, right? So, so you're trying not to identify with who yourself. You're trying to not operate from your conditioning. You're trying to be cognizant of your conditioning, the socialization process that we've all endured. And we've all endured a socialization process, no matter whether you're from Portland or you're from Burkina Faso in Africa, right? You've all gone through a type of socialization process. And so then, is that socialization process truly who we are? And so that's why Taoism became a critique for Confucianism, because Confucius was hell-bent on saying, you need to abide by your role. You actually are your role, right? And say,
right.
Where Lao Tzu and Chuang Tzu were saying, what do you mean you are your role? Roles are only played. They're not actually who you are. And yes, it is part of the human condition that we do play roles, but Taoism is to realize that all roles are played, right? And so you as radio host, me as author, you know, it's fun, but our fundamental nature is both the same, right? And so can we work our way back towards that? That's the challenge that, you know, Taoism poses to us.
You know, and you point out that the whole gist of the whole dynamic of socialization is a reaction to the belief that we are naturally beasts and we need to be trained. You know, yeah. We need to cultivate virtue. This is what all the religions other than Taoism and Buddhism seem to be telling us.
That's right. And you can look at original sin, right? Original sin, where you're a sinner from birth and there's nothing you can really do about it.
Right.
And even Confucius, he believes that we are beasts from birth, so we need cultivation. And so Taoism is against the self-cultivation model, actually. This is where you have the two different philosophies of the carving and polishing metaphor, which is Confucianism, and then you have the uncarved block. So Lao Tzu is saying, return to the uncarved block, return to your raw nature. Remember your original face before you were born. You know, you hear this in Zen a lot too. And so you need to remember your original face before you're born. Now, can we really do that? That's the question that, you know, we have to ask ourselves. But it's about moving back towards what our raw nature was before socialization stepped in, shaped us, and, you know, trained us to be who we think we are, when it's actually not who we truly are, right? And so, particularly in the modern day, if we look at how divisive the world is in the modern day and has been for the last, let's say, 15, 20 years, you know, can we really disentangle from it? And yes, we can, but we have to take this serious, right? You have to take Taoism at face value, not just at face value, you have to take it a bit deeper and apply it to your own life. And so, that means like disentangling from ideology, disentangling from all of these belief systems that you've imposed them on yourself too, right? First of all, they are imposed by socialization. And then, you know, I used the Hundun metaphor in the book, where Hundun was the uncarved block, was the undifferentiated state. And then socialization imposed this culture and everything upon him. And then he takes the drill from socialization and begins to drill holes into his own face. Because he wants to fit in with the world. He wants to be in the image of the world, right? But whereas, you know, the metaphor of Lao Tzu leaving society is Lao Tzu doesn't want to be in anyone's image, right? He's like, I've had enough of Confucianism. I've had enough of all of this indoctrination. I want to just, you know, whether or not he really did leave the society and went into the woods, it doesn't matter. It's a metaphor for us about how we want to live our life. We don't actually have to leave to the woods, but we have to stop operating from all of the conditioning that's been imposed upon us.
So I think it's very difficult for most of us who are generally egocentric and identify with our self-image to imagine what it would be like to be in alignment with the Tao in this modern world. And one of the things I'm picking up from what you just said is that we have roles that we, you know, enact. You know, role playing is the word. And so if we're more playful about the roles that we enact, I think we have to have that, have enough humility, which is a Taoist virtue, in order to be able to do that, and then kind of go with the flow. It sounds great, but there's all of these pressures in life, you know, that's all of this. We're just bombarded, you know. How do we simplify to get to make that possible?
Yeah, there's a lot of things to say about that, Paul. First of all, what you were saying about the roles, right? I like in the Zhuangzi, there's this idea of genuine pretending. So not being sort of attached to your role, so you can just move sort of efficaciously with your life. You're like the leaf floating down the river, you know? So for example, if you're not identified with your role, you might be a garbage man on Thursday, but then you might be a computer scientist by Friday. Right. So you're not attached to that role, and you can move efficaciously with your life, you know, effortlessly in your life without being attached to any one thing. And, you know, having the humility, you need to have humility to do that, right? So you have to operate almost from the zero perspective, like what we've been speaking a lot about. And if you have a lot of conditioning, if you have a lot of beliefs, then it's going to be harder for you to operate from that place, right? Like, you're not going to be able to be that leaf floating down the river, because you're going to keep hitting dams, and these are like sort of psychological cul-de-sacs that you fall in, you know, that we all fall in actually a lot of the time, and it's related to our identity. So we can't then move effortlessly with our life as one with it, right? And so it's when we let go of the banks of the river and we allow the river's power to become our power, that's when we understand what the Tao actually is. But it requires that initial letting go and understanding that, you know, maybe being a garbage man wasn't my thing. Maybe a computer science is my thing, you know, maybe, who knows, right? And so the second part of your question, what was it again?
Well, I think I brought up how humility is the bedrock of being able to do this. I mean, there's so many pressures. We're so inundated with information. I mean, my mind is just flooded with information all the time. And, the question was, how do we become more simple? How do we achieve simplicity in modern life?
That's right.
That's not not an easy question for anybody to answer.
No.
But...
well, I liken the Tao Te Ching. Lao Tzu talks about the desires of the eye and the desires of the belly. Mm-hmm. So this is a challenge from moving from complexity into simplicity. So the desires of the eye are those artificial desires that are far away. And, you know, unfortunately, particularly modern society and modern developed world is all built on sort of this Madison Avenue mentality, where there's all of these artificial desires far away. Think of the American dream. Think of keeping up with the Joneses. You know, oh, Paul's got a Ferrari now. Geez, you know, I better go out and get that as well, you know. So, and this is what destroys people, because these are not actually essential needs. These are just artificial wants, right? And so Lao Tzu says, if we want to understand simplicity and want to get away from that complexity, and, you know, we could say that his during the Warring States period was not as complex as it is now in our world, but they still had their own challenges, right? They still had their own challenges, and maybe it was easier to say harm someone back then and you'd get away with it. You know, there's a lot of things that we could talk about, right? But he would say, return to the desires of the belly. So what he means by that, just keeping it very simple, like, you know, you obviously need to eat, we need to connect with each other, just the raw simplicity of life that I think, you know, particularly in the modern day, we've lost, because we pick up the silly phone and we open the phone up and there's all of these problems on the phone, but then you open the window and you just hear a bird chirping. And so it's like that Bill Hicks bit from the 90s, right? He's like watching TV, he's watching CNN, and there's war and there's chaos, and he opens up the window and he hears tweet, tweet. And he's like, man, where's all this stuff happening? You know, like, it's not that it's not happening, but it's like, are you taking that on as your own responsibility, right? Are you taking that on as part of your own personality? Where I mentioned in the book, there's always been problems in the world. And we, like, for example, there might have been problems in Australia that 200 years ago you didn't know about. You didn't even know where Australia was.
Right.
But now because we have the phone, we can... Or when the advent of media and newspapers, then we could then start to hear about what was going on the other side of the planet. And this developed this habit of taking on everything as our own responsibility, right? And so Lao Tzu is kind of saying, you know, don't do that, right? Get out of that, because you end up becoming a figure like Confucius, where you're trying to go around right every wrong, and most of the time, it doesn't end up that well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the ego, because that's really the central problem in Taoism and in Buddhism. You know, and the Tao Te Ching states, as you write, there is no greater crime than having too many desires, and there's no greater disaster than not being content. This is the problem. We are so addicted to so many things. We're addicted to being special. We're addicted to thinking of ourselves as special and trying to achieve and accumulate honor and praise, et cetera, and success, et cetera, in order to feel secure.
That's right. The security is a big thing, right? So we will identify with anything to have that security. That's what the ego does, right? And that's actually what is fundamentally insecure, right? So you're identifying with all of these groups and ideologies and this and that, because you believe that keeps you safe, but that's actually what is fundamentally insecure, because the ego itself is fundamentally insecure, right? And so it wants to attach to anything that it sees. And so it lacks contentment. It's desiring to be safe. It's desiring to have security. And it doesn't understand that you know, first of all, the ego, essentially, from the Taoist perspective, is kind of a thing that doesn't really exist, right? It's kind of an accumulation of socialization that we've endured that becomes our personality. But Lao Tzu always challenges us in the Tao Te Ching, because he will state something like, do you know the contentment of contentment? Have you reached that place where you know the contentment of contentment, or are you riddled with these artificial desires, right? As I mentioned with the desires of the eye, right? So the desires of the eye, a lot of the time, is what continues the fire of the ego raging, and yeah, like I want that promotion. I want Paul's position as a radio host. I envy his life, and so forth and so on, right? And this is exacerbated with social media and everything in the modern day, because we can just open up the phone, you can open up Facebook and look at someone else's life, and then, you know, the ego steps in and goes, well, look how well they're doing and look what you're doing, right? And so and so it's never been more difficult to be aware of that and to work on that, but I feel as though it's way more rewarding in the modern day, because once you start to peel those layers away, the weight of the world at the moment is heavy, right? So you'll start to feel that lightness once you start to peel those layers away. Whereas back in the old days, Lao Tzu could just go probably 2 kilometers and he's probably in the woods and doesn't see anybody, right?
So, right. You know. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You point out in the book that craving has got a mind of its own. You say that the Buddha was not just talking about our specific desires per se, but he was speaking about the seeking itself, you know, and the mind, you know, wants to seek or crave or achieve or accumulate, and because it's uncomfortable. And so getting over that, I mean, I think that your book is kind of a training manual, or Taoism is kind of a training for freedom, freedom from the pressure of trying to be somebody or trying to become somebody. You know, be special. And I think that relates to the fear of death too. You know, can you speak to the Taoist attitude about death?
Well, Zhuangzi has a good view on death. Like, you know, a lot of people would say to him in the Warring States period of China, what about death? You know, and this and that. And he's like, they're always speaking about it, like, as most of us speak about it, in a negative way. We don't want to let go of ourselves. We can't understand sort of the end of this ego dying, right? Like, because we're so attached to our identity. And Zhuangzi would always say, how do you know death is a bad thing? He's not saying that dying isn't bad. Like, obviously he can see someone dying and they're in pain and suffering, but he's like, how do you know death itself is bad? These are the transformations of life, and everything has a transformation of life, right? And the Taoists, to a certain extent, do believe in reincarnation in that sense, right? Because because they believe in, there's only transformations. There's not like an end to anything, because if the Tao is imminent within reality, but at the same time transcends it, it has this eternal quality. And so death itself is just some sort of door or gateway into another state of being, or you know, Zhuangzi doesn't want to go too far and, you know, hypothesize about the Bardo realm or anything like this, but he's saying it is a transformation of life nevertheless. Right. Just like you eat food and you transform it into feces, right? Same. That's how we're going. You know, I'm not saying that death is like going to the toilet, but it is a transformation of life nevertheless.
Yeah, and you point out that Taoism and Eastern spirituality in general are technologies designed to avoid procrastination and instead kill the ego now, so that we can truly live and so that we don't have to be afraid of it. Because the fear of death is the death of the ego. That's what we're holding on to. Yeah. And that's why I like believing in reincarnation, even though I can't prove it. But I like believing that there is no death. You know, it's just a transformation, like you say. Mm. And I think that Taoism helps us to realize that. I think psychedelics can help too. I wonder how Lao Tzu would have felt about psychedelics dissolving the ego, you know?
He probably went to the mountains and was having mushrooms all the time anyway. Who knows?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so there's this concept of free and easy wandering. And you think of the Taoist sage, you know, it sort of reminds me of back when I was a hippie. I used to hitchhike up and down the West Coast of the United States. And, it was an amazing thing. It really was being in the present moment and not knowing what lies ahead. Is that the definition? Is that what does Wu Wei have to do with that? Wu Wei is a term that we've heard before with Tai Chi, etc.
Well, it does. Yeah, Wu Wei has a lot to do with that, and I love that analogy of you walking up and down the highway as a young hippie, a foreign hippie. but it's Wu Wei is that effortless living aspect that is kind of essential to Taoism, and it's kind of a path of non-interference as well. So it's a path of, you know, you're allowing life to be. But this evokes a higher teaching, and probably the highest teaching in Taoism, which you alluded to, which is Shao Yao Yu, and this is free and easy wandering that you find in the Zhuangzi, right? He talks a lot about Shao Yao Yu, this free and easy wandering, and he's talking about like aimless roaming. Like there's no destination to reach, right? It's life is not about reaching a destination. It's about enjoying the dance. And so there's a lot of ways to interpret this, but A.C. Graham, he mentioned it's like allowing the heart and mind to roam, you know, without, it's not just a physical roaming, even though Lao Tzu would say to your younger self, Paul, he'd say, you know, great, great, you know, get out there and enjoy life. But it's more so allowing the heart and mind to roam without being stuck to this or that and caught anywhere, right? Because that leads to then a strong belief, or maybe you become ideological or this and that, right? It's very similar to how the yogis in India would operate. Because the ancient yogis, they would never spend more than 1 or 2 days in a location, because they said that if they spent 1 or 2 days in a location, they would begin to gain the vasanas of the community. The vasanas are the type of habits and tendencies of that community. So they would only stay, you know, have a few meals and move on, because they didn't want to know what, you know. And I'm not saying that we need to do that, because, and Lao Tzu and Zhuangzi are actually not saying that we need to just roam around the world, even though there's benefits of that. But it's about allowing your heart and mind to roam wherever it may go without being stuck to anything. And then that cultivates this sense of ease, which I found a lot of spiritual aspirants actually don't have. They don't have a lot of ease, because they might come across Taoism or something like this, and they become a little bit of a fundamentalist about it, right? Because they don't have that ease, and they become very anal about the teachings. Like, Paul, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that, you know? And it's right. Like, oh man. And it's nothing worse than being around someone who's overly anal, as we both know.
Yeah. There was a book on that called, Spiritual Materialism.
But Chogyam Trungpa?
Cutting through spiritual materialism. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that you bring up and write and talk about reminds me of Alan Watts. And I used to go see Alan Watts when I was a young hippie. So would you recommend, I mean, you seem to have some affinity for him. And there's a lot of YouTube videos by him. And are there any other YouTube videos besides yourself that you might recommend for people?
Like YouTube teachers that? Like,
right.
Well, obviously Alan is one great one. It's tough with Taoism, right? With Taoism, there's not that many teachers. If we're stepping outside the scope, I would say if we're talking about Vedanta, for example, I don't mind Swami Sarvapriyananda, people like that, the Vedanta Society in general. There's also, I have a Tai Chi, a friend and teacher, Damo Mitchell. He teaches Taoism a little bit as well, but his channel is also is good as well. Okay. But you know, in relation to Taoism, I find myself a lot of the time reading a lot of the older texts, and obviously reading Alan's works and people like that. Ava Wong as well. Ava Wong is one. She's kind of a bit of a recluse, so I've never really ever spoke to her, and there's barely any picture of her. But she's wrote a lot of great books on Taoism as well.
You know, we have run out of time so quickly, and I've got to close the show. And I want to thank you, Jason, because there's so much more we could explore, but we've run out of time. And I'd like to do it again. I'd like to have you back on the show. Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is jasongregory.org. And for those who may be listening to Pathways Live on a Sunday morning and tuned into the show late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, producer of the Visionary I Ching Oracle, an app that supports great decisions and perfect timing. And we're so glad you're with us today and have the ability to review all of the hundreds of interviews in our online archive. You can play and or share this program whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Jason Gregory, author of The Natural Traditions of Taoism. And I want to say a heartfelt thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to Pathways, which is broadcast on KBOO.fm in Portland, Oregon. Or perhaps you have a free subscription to our podcast, which you can find at divination.com, that's spelled divination.com, or by searching Pathways Radio on Paulo's YouTube channel, where you can give us a thumbs up and subscribe. And please do feel free to forward a link to your friends. So this is Paulo bidding you adieu and reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Podcast. And thanks again to Jason Gregory and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways Conversation.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from our members and from local businesses. Do you have a local business or an upcoming event you would like KBOO's listeners to know about?